For those who don't know me, my name is Jade, and you know, I've been coming and speaking at Real Life Church in its various seasons and various names since I graduated the Teen Challenge program a couple of decades ago. And Pastor David and Rochelle, you've been one of both Tristan and I's biggest cheerleaders. You always open up your doors, you give us your platform, you trust us to share the word, and we don't take it lightly, but from a distance and up close, you've always been a great encouragement to us, and I just want to take this time to honour you, and as to the church, you have great pastors. They love the Lord. They love reaching out to the city, as I'm really inspired with what you're doing with Christmas and pinching some of your ideas, and you know, and they really have a heart for people, and you are so blessed to have them as your pastors. So why don't we put our hands together and just honour them. Really amazing. So I went through the Teen Challenge program. Just a little bit about me. I arrived there in 1999. I was addicted to drugs, and I really didn't know if I was going to get my second chance until somebody led me into a prayer that actually I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I asked Jesus to become my Savior and to put my feet upon a rock, and I put all my trust in Him because I didn't know without Him if I actually had a future. That was over 21 years ago, and I've never looked back. God has taken me on a massive journey. He's blessed me with a wonderful husband who pastors Eternity Church. I've got three amazing children, one of whom is here today and will be helping me with my sermon. And we spend a lot of our time reaching out to the community as well. We spent 13 years doing prison ministry to the females in the different prisons across WA. We do lots of outreach in our high school. We feed the poor in our communities. Pre-COVID, we were reaching out to the prostitutes in the brothels, reaching out to the homeless, and we open our church every Thursday and we have meals with those who are on the streets. So very similar heart, and that's why today when I share the word, I feel like I'm coming home and I'm sharing with friends and family. And so why don't we pray and ask the Lord to open our hearts and prepare us for what He has for us today. So Father, I thank You once again for this wonderful opportunity to come before You, that as we open Your word, Father, I pray that You would open our hearts, that we wouldn't leave here with information, but Father, this morning I'm praying for revelation, Father, to flow from heaven to me and out to everyone who hears this message today. I pray not my will be done, but Your will be done. Father, that we would leave with bigger hearts today, ready to serve the world around us, to bring glory and honor to Your name. Amen. 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 Revelations 19, verse 7 to 9. The Bible says, "Let us rejoice and exalt Him and give Him glory, because the wedding celebration of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, shining bright and clear, has been given to her to wear. And the fine linen represents the righteous deeds of His holy believers. Then the angel said to me, 'Write these words. Wonderfully blessed are those who are invited to feast at the wedding celebration of the Lamb.' And then he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Jesus is coming. Who can say amen to that? And I think that there is a cry going out across the earth where every decade it appears that this cry is getting a little bit louder every time. We don't know the time or the hour. The Bible tells us that when He is coming, He will come at an unknown hour. So we need to be focused and not get distracted, and in fact, live a life prepared, holding on to our first love, staying intimate with Jesus, not worrying about what's happening around us, but focusing on this one thing, putting Jesus at the center of everything, because He is coming back for His bride. Jesus is coming as bridegroom, king, and judge. A king with power, a judge with zeal, and a bridegroom with a beautiful desire for his bride, the church. Here's coming back in Ephesians 5:27. It says, for a radiant church, amen, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. And as we, the church, the ecclesia, the gathering of the people, are prepared, individually prepared, corporately then being ready, by living a life that is pleasing and devoted to him, then we are preparing the bride for King Jesus. Amen? A church which is glorious and prepared, Holy Spirit filled, humble, heroic, holy, wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus, exercising great spiritual authority, standing strong on the word of God, living lives with righteous acts and discipleship, a life pleasing and wholeheartedly, 100% sold out for him, not getting distracted, not getting pulled away, not pulling or leaning into the world around us, but just pursuing Jesus 100% with all that you have. And this morning we're going to be opening up Matthew 25 and we're looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. And this has been described as the watching parable. You know, a parable is a simple story that has a spiritual meaning. The parable of the 10 virgins is the call for readiness in uncertain times of his second coming. And the main point is that Jesus deeply loves all of us, that he longs and he wants us to be ready when he returns. So to understand this parable, I want to put it in context by looking at chapter 24 and 25 because it's one continued message. And it's Jesus' final presentation of himself before the upper room and before the Last Supper. So it's significant. So it begins in Matthew 24 with the signs of the time and then four prophetic parables which come in response when the disciples were asking in Matthew 24:3, tell us, when will this be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Don't you find yourself ever asking yourself that question? Jesus, when are you coming? What are the signs? We need to be like the children of Issachar, looking and discerning the signs of the time. So Jesus gives them this long answer, which includes these parables. He first talks about the parable of the fig tree. And it's taking time to discern the times and know the signs. Because most people won't take time to slow down and actually understand the time and the hour in which we live. So Jesus is responding to the disciples, talking to them about this first parable of the fig tree, about taking time to discern the times. Then he gives us the second parable, the parable of the faithful and the unfaithful servant. And this is to illustrate the seriousness of being ready for Jesus' return by truly acting like a Christian. Wow. Amen? Amen? Because how many people know it, but they don't live it? But in fact, we should live our lives in such a way that we shouldn't have to say one word about the Bible or one scripture, and people will know that there is something different about us. Because our lives and our actions are sometimes the only Bible that people will read around us. What is your life saying about you? What is your sacrifice saying about you? What is your righteous deeds saying about you? Your service. How many of you cross the street? Are we truly acting like Christians? It's about guarding ourselves against offense, against bitterness, and those staying away from those who are bound by it, because those who get caught up in bitterness will defile many. The Amplified Bible says in in Matthew 24:10, and then talking about the signs of the times, many will be offended. So one of the signs of the times is that many Christians, people in the church, will be offended. Wow. Real life church, you are to be unoffended Christians. And the test will come. Because how many times does the enemy lay up that bait and go, just take it, and you justify it? But the signs of the times is that many Christians will be offended. And Jesus is telling us this through this parable. And repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey. And they will stumble and fall away, and they will begin to betray each other and pursue one another with hatred. Is this the bride that Jesus is coming back for?
No,
he's coming back for a pure and spotless and blameless bride. An unoffended church. People who, even though when we walk through fire and swim through waters, and people disappoint us and hurt us, and the injustice that comes against us, will we stand and actually say, I refuse to be the majority that is offended in the body of Christ? Or will I stand unoffended? Because I'm guarding my heart, I'm guarding my ears, I'm guarding my spirit, I'm protecting the anointing that God has given me, because I want to make a difference in these times. And then third parable is the parable of the 10 virgins, which is what we're looking at this morning, which is be ready for the return of Jesus. And then the fourth parable, which is the one of the talents. And Jesus tells the parable of the talents in order to communicate the seriousness of serving God while waiting for Jesus' return. Check out those parables, because they're there for us to unpack and understand the times in which we are living. So the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. So the term virgin in a spiritual context is used to represent those who are pure and spiritually undefiled by idolatry. And the extraordinary truth about Jesus and the Word of God is that it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. It doesn't matter what we did last week. It doesn't matter what we did on the way into church. The Bible says His mercies are new every day. That when we confess our sins one to another and we turn 180 degrees and run the other way, He is faithful and just to forgive us.
Amen.
10 virgins spiritually undefiled. So what we can see here is that we're talking, there are 10 virgins. 10, that's all of them who took their lamps. So they all had lamps, which was their ministries. They're bringing light to other people around them. Functional ministries. 10 out of 10 virgins. They were going well. They had ministries. They were bringing the light. They were spiritually undefiled. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. So all 10 of them had this introductory understanding of the bridegroom. They were informed. They knew what was going to happen. All 10 of them, 100%, started out together. But 5 of them were foolish. And 5 of them were wise. And sadly, I believe this is the divide and is indicative of modern Christianity today. And the tragedy of this parable isn't that they weren't informed or didn't know, or that they weren't in the flow, but it was that they got out of the flow, which made 5 of them foolish and 5 of them wise. So what makes them foolish or wise? Verse 3, the foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. So the oil represents Holy Spirit. So the foolish ones had their ministries, their outward expressions, but they began to live outside the realm of the Holy Spirit. And they began to do things in their own strength. Pride crept in, independence, because they failed to keep their first love, their intimacy with Jesus. Losing their first love, they lost all. You see, I believe that in these time and hours, Jesus isn't about bigger and better and more. He's about deeper and further and more intimate and coming closer to Him. The Bible says when we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us. In these times, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. Jesus is saying, what's happening in you? What is all this virus and all these things happening around us? What's it doing in you? Is it bringing you closer to Jesus? Is it getting you on your knees to worship Him? Are you experiencing more of His love? Because you now know, I can't work this out by myself. I need more of Jesus. And the more of Jesus you have, it means less of you. Jesus is calling us for a deeper intimacy. The foolish, they lost their first love. They lost their oil. Never let your ministry, in other words, never let your service get larger than your heart connection with Jesus. Your intimacy with Jesus should always exceed your ministry opportunities, because what you experience internally should be greater than what you give externally. Because what does this look like? Well, some of you might go, well, you know, I think I'm giving more than actually sitting at the feet of Jesus. So is this my time to just pull back and come off a couple of rosters? No, in fact, it's to do the complete opposite. It means that you need to start starving the things of the world. It means you need to start saying no to something so you can say yes to worshiping Jesus. It means that you need to put some more sacrifice aside so you can get closer to the heart of God, so your inward is actually greater than your outward. It's not turning around and going, well, I'm just going to decrease my outward because my inward isn't quite there. It means no. It means getting on your knees and actually getting closer to Jesus, worshiping, studying the Word of God, getting more revelation, praying in your heavenly language. Turning off the radio, turning off the news, opening up the Bible, closing your magazine and the newspaper, and actually saying, Jesus, I want more of you. I want in me to be greater ever than what I give outwardly. Doesn't mean pulling back from your ministry. It means going deeper and further in your devotion and your intimacy with Jesus. We're not in a time and hour to pull back. We're in a time and hour to go deeper, to go further, and to go forward with Him. And I'm talking about reorganizing and reprioritizing and realigning and resetting and reestablishing. You know, one of the things that I think we are in this season is that the Lord wants us to come back sometimes to the very basics. Is to just be passionate about your worship and your devotion to the Lord. Because from that space, you know, we can give over and above and do what the Lord has asked us to do. Because our strength relies in our relationship with God. You know, the foolish will try to live on yesterday's success, yesterday's anointing, yesterday's revelation, yesterday's testimony, yesterday's prophetic word, yesterday's breakthrough, yesterday's past experience. And although they're all good, it was yesterday. And when your intimacy runs with Jesus runs dry, the foolish will find that their heart is no longer soft, no longer pliable, no longer tender like was in the past. There's no fear, there's no reverence, and there's no desire for the Lord. the heart has gone hard. And life can do that. You know, sometimes you're sitting here and you're going through the motions, but there's a prayer at the end where the Lord is saying, no more hard hearts. And even if it's drifted and you can justify why your heart has gone like that, the Lord is saying there's an opportunity for you today because He cares more for you than to have walls up. He's saying it's time for the walls to come down so He can really get in and He can actually bring you back into that place of great intimacy with Him. Because they're running from their own tank and not from the overflow, there's a form of godliness with no power. It's religion. It's dead, dull, and dangerous. And Jesus doesn't want us to, especially in these days, to be going through the motion. He's talking about relationship and staying one with Him, staying intimate with Him. So what happens to the foolish person when the tests of life come? When disappointments come? Betrayals, injustice, adversities, and setbacks. Instead of it making them better, they get bitter. And they open themselves up to offense, hurt, and left unresolved, it will go on to hurt other people. Hearts get injured, pride comes in, bitterness is set in, and it will start to defile many. And that's the parable of the faithful and the unfaithful servant. So we need to understand what holiness is, because holiness is often mistaken for religion, but it's not. It's about intimacy. When you love Him, you want to live holy for Him. And our goal is to love Him with everything that we have and live our lives pleasing to Him. Verse 4, the wise ones, however, they took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The oil, again, representing Holy Spirit. And the Lord is saying this is what the definition of wisdom is. The presence of the Holy Spirit flowing in you and through you. The oil here is talking about a heart connection with the Lord, a softening, a spending time in His presence. I'm talking about a living, breathing, functioning relationship with Jesus where you include Him in everything you do. When you are driving to work, you are worshiping Him. When you're about to sit an exam, you're asking Him to come and help you to remember the answers. When you're about to go for a job opportunity, you invite the Lord to go ahead of time that you would find favor with God and with man. Before you eat a meal, you pray and you thank the Lord. When you're going through warfare, you will take communion and break the powers of darkness over your situation. When your children are prodigal and they're roaming the streets, that you will hop into the prayer closet where no one else will hear you or no one else will understand what you're saying, and you bring your request before the Lord. This is the wise people. They allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change their hearts inside, then it's out. You know, and as the face reflects the water, so does our countenance reflect the Lord. When we spend time in the presence of God, people carry it. You know, prayer warriors and intercessors that have been sitting with the Lord through the night hours, and you just meet them and they're just a light. The Lord wants us to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that the world will not satisfy, that the coronavirus will not come in and rob you of, that you won't walk around the street fearing of what's going on, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The fight in you because of your submission to the Lord is greater than the fight that will come against you. It doesn't matter if you walk through it, because if God brings you to it, He will walk you through it. You will swim through deep waters, but you won't drown. You will walk through very hot fire, but you won't be burnt. You will walk through the valley, but you won't stop. You will keep on walking because you know Jesus is with you in the hard times, in the adversity, in the setbacks, in the disappointments, in the heartbreak, in the loss. He is with you. Not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm willing and obedient. that I don't walk in my own strength, but I walk with the power of the Holy Spirit that took up residence in my heart when I said yes to Jesus over 2 decades ago. What he did then to actually rescue me out of addiction is no different than some of the challenges I have to walk through today, which is why we remind ourselves, as Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he got you this far, he's going to get you that next far that you need to go. Begin to thank the Lord and begin to worship him and stay close to him. We need to behold our way to transformation. And what I mean by that is not behaving your way to change, because that's religion. And what I mean by that is if you're walking through a struggle, you behold him and you worship him. And he begins to change you from the inside out. You might not see the change, but people who might not see you in 2, 3 months or years will look at you one day and go, something has changed about you. And all you've done is you've beheld Jesus. You've made him bigger in your heart, that you begin to change because of the Spirit of the living God that begins to actually change you from the inside out, that the things that you used to do, you will no longer be able to do. This is the intimacy we're talking about in these time and hours. It's not behaving and changing and outward and do this and do that. Jesus is saying, just be intimate with me. Come into my throne room and meet with me. Take time to sit with me and listen. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Make the time to evaluate where you decide what your next step is going to be, because everything that you are going to do from this moment onward is going to bring glory to the name of Jesus. He's not after partial obedience. He's after full obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. He wants our full obedience, whatever he asks us to do. And how do we know that? If it's God or not? Because when you sit with someone and you get to know them, you know their voice. I've got 3 children. I can be in a shopping centre full of children, and one of my 3 can call out my name and I will know that that's my kids. And it's the same when we build that relationship with God. We build that history with him. When we call out to him, he will know us, because we've taken that time to get to know him. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Sleeping in this parable isn't bad. Sleeping in other parables, meaning spiritual sleeping, can be. But in this one, it was talking about just the natural process of life, the rhythm of what we do. And I believe it's saying to us here, it doesn't matter whether you're up on the pulpit and you're serving the Lord. Your ministry is wherever you go. Your ministry is when you go to the servo to fill up after here, and the way that you treat the person behind the checkout. When you walk through Coles and you buy your groceries, and the way you treat the workers there. When you're volunteering in your local community, when you go home to your husband and wives and families, that is a ministry as well. As you go about your everyday life, you can get oil. In the busyness of life, you can still get oil. It's sometimes the Lord will sanctify and call you apart, and you'll go on a sabbatical, or you'll go away and you need that one-on-one time. But actually, every day, God can fill you up in your everyday life, in your busyness, in your boring, in your mundane. For the mums in here, when you're waking up to your children in the middle of the night, he can speak to you all the time. Your everyday life is ministry. You know, when I'm particularly busy, I'll ask the Lord, I want my spiritual antennas up, so that when I'm walking around and I'm busy, you're showing me things. When I'm looking at creation, when I'm looking at roses, when I'm looking at people, when I'm hearing stories, I'm ultra alert, because I've asked the Lord, just let me be alert in this busyness of time, that I wouldn't get lost in works, but even in the midst of all of this, you will show me your goodness. The foolish started good. They knew better than to get in this condition. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom." Jesus is coming for the bride, the church, who is mutually yoked, intimate with the Father. A bride who is glorious and prepared, humble, heroic, holy. Jesus doesn't come just to simply stamp our passports so we get rescued from hell. He's wanting and he requires our all. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. That means they cut the top off the wick. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. Give us some of your oil. Our ministries are diminishing. Our lights are going out. Can you give us some of your oil?" Getting oil is deliberate. You know, we can't live off someone else's experience. We can't live off someone else's revelation. When Jesus comes, we can't start building a history then and there. The Lord says, start building it now. We have to get our own oil. And that means taking time to shift your lifestyle, shift your schedule so that you can be close to him. Because you can't get oil on the run. "No," they said. It doesn't work that way. The wise telling the foolish, "No, you're not having our oil. You need to go and get your own oil." And in the same way, we need to get our own oil. We can't live off our pastor's revelation, live off what our pastor does in prayer. We can't live off everything the pastor does. What we have to do is get our own oil. Jesus is longing for that intimacy with us. And the darkness that the world is coming into, it's going to require more than just a little bit of this pop psychology and Christian self-help, or things are going to get better every week with sermons that we hear and motivational messages. It means the time we're coming into, the Lord wants us to close the door and go and pray to him. When no one else is looking, when no one else hears, he's talking about that intimacy with him. Where you can go in and ask him, "God, I need you to fill me afresh right now. I need you to touch those places in my heart that are empty. I need you to cleanse me. Father, I need a fresh revelation of you. I need help in this area," where we rely more on Jesus than we do on anyone else. Otherwise, lamps are going to go out. And the truth is, the depth of this darkness and the pain on the earth is going to keep getting greater. But the cry of the Lord is going to be louder. And whilst we're full of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that we're going to escape pressure, but we won't be held captive by it. Amen? That there's a freedom when we stay close to him. And they replied, "There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." So the wise said, "No, I'm not going to give you any of my oil." So in other words, they're saying, "I'm not going to give you my spiritual history because it's not transferable." How many times do we look at people that, you know, have taken time perhaps to be intimate with God and to really go deep in the things of God, and we start getting, you know, how do they get that? Or, you know, some people get, can get a little bit funny with that. But are you willing to do what those people did to get that spiritual history and to get the breakthrough and to actually hop on their knees to get the revelation and the answer to prayer that they did? So we don't go funny when people are getting breakthrough and freedom and open doors and all of that. Are you willing to do what they did, which is go into the throne room and come before your Father and actually worship him in spirit and in truth, allowing him to change you from the inside out? It's day by day, moment by moment, that we get our oil. You know, even wonderful opportunities like the camps that the young people are going on, they're like surges of oil. And beyond that, it's day by day, moment by moment, our priorities, starving the things of the world, feeding on the things of God. Throw yourself in and jump in all the way. But while they were on their way to buy oil, and this is not to scare you, but to prepare you, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready. So it's not just our number one goal to be ready, but it's the goal for all humanity to be ready, that we would all be ready, that the redeemed would stand ready, mutual, wholehearted love, responding to each other in love and in kindness, loving God with all our heart. They went in with him to the banquet and they're celebrating and the door was shut. The door of opportunity to participate at this feast was shut. So later the others also came and said, "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." I don't know if you've ever thought about that, that we know God, but what if he doesn't know us? He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. As the darkness and the intensity of the world increases, our active intimacy with the Lord should increase as well. Otherwise, if you've been in ministry long enough, the saddest thing that we've seen is people who were once on fire for God, through situations, setbacks, adversities, disappointments, betrayals, they begin to regress. Bitterness comes in, offense comes in, and some of them aren't even walking with the Lord today. Real life church, that is not here. This is going to be a catalyst service where the Lord is going to stir that hunger up in your heart and fan into flame that fire. Where you thought you loved God one way, the Lord is saying, get ready. He's about to pour out his spirit on this place like never before. And it will attract the community around and you'll begin to see people come in because there is something different and authentic about real life church, like rivers of living water that will flow from heaven because of your individual intimacy with the Father. Corporately, it will actually unlock something that will catch the attention of heaven, that will draw all people in, because that's what the Word of God says, that when we lift up the name of Jesus, all men will be drawn to him. So the center theme, I believe, of where we are at is that Jesus wants us to have great intimacy with him. He's coming back for a pure and a spotless bride. Therefore, keep watch, verse 13 says, because you do not know the day or the hour. You know, he wants us to have a voice to our community, but he doesn't want it in a way that we're so passionate about it that our outward expression exceeds our inward desire for the Lord. He's saying it's time to come back and prepare yourself, prepare your heart, and let him go to those places in your heart so that he can set you free like never before. The special relationship Jesus has with his bride, my bride can come out now, and we can have the worship, maybe some keys. Is our bride ready? So the special relationship that Jesus has with his church is seen in the terminology as the church as the bride of Christ. Amen? The bride of Christ. And one day the church will meet her groom, Jesus, the bride. He is preparing a bride. Can you just sit, come right up here? He is preparing the church and he's calling us to be ready. It starts with intimacy. It starts with loving the Father individually. Not relying on everyone else's revelation, spiritual history. But today, I'm talking about getting our hearts ready. and letting Jesus speak to us in the same way we met him, coming back to your first love and never growing cold, being full of fear, burning out, tired. That's not Jesus. Jesus saying intimacy with the Father. He's preparing the bride and he's calling us to be ready. You know, if Jesus came today or tomorrow, what would she look like? What would the bride look like? What does she look like when we talk about her? Are we honoring her? Are we looking after her? Are we caring for her? Maybe just standing in front of there. Are we speaking well of her? Or do we come and through our careless words, we just start to mark her? Is this what Jesus is coming back for? He's coming back for a pure and a spotless bride. But when we don't care for her, we blemish her. When we speak ill of her, we're not looking after her. When we're not caring for her, we mark her. Jesus is coming back for a bride, and are we ready? What does our prayers say about us? Do we edify the bride? Do we nurture her? Do we love her? Do we embrace her? Do we protect her? When people are saying things about the bride of Christ, what are we doing? Are we adding to it? Are we going to protect her? When people speak against the leadership, are we protecting her? Or are we adding to the blemish? Matthew 24 and 25, we need to understand what this is about. And it's about preparing for Jesus to come and meet his bride. Like if Jesus walked in now, real life church, you know, how have we contributed to making the bride beautiful, shining bright, holy, humble, heroic? We've got to look after her. All right, you can go. We're all responsible. If we're not proud of her, bickering, gossiping, it blemishes the bride. Are we going to be foolish or are we going to be wise and be ready for his return? All of us together are preparing the bride for King Jesus, and he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Christ loved the church that he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean and washed by God's word. And he did this to present himself to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. Instead, she will be holy. Are we cleaning her? Real life church, are we preparing her? Are we loving her? Are we preparing the bride to meet the bridegroom? Do we love the church? Amen. We love her. We nurture her. We protect her. Revelations 19, verse 7 to 9. Let us rejoice and exalt him and give him glory, because the wedding celebration of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. What is bride? Are you ready? and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, maybe just stand up here, shining bright and clear, has been given to her to wear. And the fine linen represents the righteous deeds of his holy believers. When you feed the poor, your carols, the choir, the camps, the Wednesday outreach, the Wednesday services, the Christmas hampers, Jules, you're preparing. You know, you always have an eternal perspective. When you're gathering your food for Christmas and you're putting food in there, pray over the food. It's not just, oh, quickly grab it, I just want to help out because I'm a good person. No, it's more than that. Every product in that bag, every bag that goes out to that person is the good deeds. And it's the motive in which you give it. Not out of works and have to, because you're willing and obedient and you've prayed and you're trusting that everything that you are doing is contributing to preparing the bride. Then the angel said, write these words, wonderfully blessed are those who are invited to the feast at the wedding celebration of the Lamb. And then he said to me, these are the true words of God. The church to be ready as a radiant, spotless, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Real life church, are you ready? I really feel like this is going to be like a moment. Like there's going to be a revelation, like a dial shift here. And where you do so much already, I believe the Lord wants to take you to a whole nother level. And he's preparing his saints. And he's saying, don't just look at the things of the earth. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Prepare the bride. Protect her. Nurture her. Build her up. Look after her. Love her. Honor her. Pray for her. Pray for your leaders. Respect. Value. Get around them. Lift their arms. Run with them. They're appointed for this house. Ask them, what can I do to serve what the Lord has put in your heart for our community? Preparing. Don't swim in the opposite direction. Don't do your own thing. Just prepare. So when Jesus comes back and the bride is presented, he will stand before all those at Real Life Church and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I'm after. That is what I'm after. In Jesus' name. Just we will just stay here for a moment. For everyone online, I just want to thank you for joining us here this morning. If you are responding to the message today, then I just really pray that you would reach out and connect with the people online. We will be shutting this part of the service off now. But we would love to hear from you. If you've never made a decision for Jesus and you've never said yes to him, then today is a day for you to say yes and to allow him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. And a second chance is here for you, and mercy is here for you, and we would love to hear from you. So God bless you, and thank you for joining us today.